what it is.
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Hard Factor. It is Thursday, June 13th, and congrats to the St. Louis Blues. You're like a third world version of the Washington Capitals. Hats off to you for winning the Stanley Cup. Congrats.
Agreed. Or like the Philadelphia Eagles. It's their first one, and also a third world sport. So ninth world version of the Eagles.
Oh, hockey is not a third world sport.
That's a joke. Congratulations. It's fucking fantastic, St. Louis.
St. Louis needs a win.
Congratulations, St. Louis.
Have you been to St. Louis? I mean, all they got is Nelly and the Arch.
Yeah, Nelly must be fucking ecstatic.
Oh, my God. His Band-Aid flew off.
Yeah.
And that's a tough-ass team, man. That's an awesome team. Good for them. A lot of great players. Ryan O'Reilly, what a beast. All right, top stories for the day. I'm going to do one called Go Off, King. Trump goes off again on a Wednesday like he seems to always do because I'm usually doing the top stories on Wednesday nights, and he went off again on a Wednesday.
By the way, Will, love that segment title. Go Off, King.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't like that it implies a monarchy, but I like it.
Well, he's about to introduce what I'm doing, which is also Go Off, Kings.
That's true.
For Don't Fuck With Hard Factor.
That's true.
It's true. Yeah, and speaking of that, Mark is going to tell us the tale of our hotel in Detroit. So
we're now big enough to not be fucked with.
Do not fuck with Hard Factor.
Yeah. Watch out. We're throwing some weight around. And then Pat's going to take us through a lightning round of other headlines. Okay, let's get into this Go Off King Trump Wednesday once again. First up, in the most hilarious move of 2019 so far, in my opinion, President Trump said Wednesday that he would not necessarily call the FBI if offered opposition research from foreign governments.
Come on.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Come on. What is he saying there?
That's a troll.
It's a troll. He's saying if I did get information, which I never have, I would look at it. So
he's saying he wouldn't ask for it, but if he received it.
Right.
Trump's also been evading taxes for the better part of 30 years, so he's not calling the FBI for any reason.
Correct. Correct. And like you said, quote, I've seen a lot of things over my life. I don't think in my whole life I've ever called the FBI. That's what Trump told George Stephanopoulos in an interview. So he also said this, quote, I think you might want to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening. If somebody called from a country, Norway,
for example,
we have information on your opponent. Oh, I think I'd want to hear it. Unquote.
He'd be like, Norway, I'm going to just leave the phone on speakerphone.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with listening. It's a passive act.
Right.
He didn't say Russia, for example.
Well, right. Right. But this is why it's such an epic troll, because Norway is the example that Bernie Sanders always uses for everything. So Trump is not only trolling with the fact that he would, but he never has received this information. He's also using Bernie's prime example. It's just fantastic stuff.
It is pretty funny. It is not super presidential.
Not at all.
But
no,
not much. But
just those comments, you know, he knows and you know that just so many assholes are puckered up when he said that.
Yeah, exactly. Just,
by the way,
so tight.
Tough loss for Norway women's team yesterday against France because they lost in the
and also tough loss for Thailand.
Just generally?
Thailand lost 13-0.
Oh, shit. Nothing. I only got Norway.
13-0. It was 3-0 at halftime. Ended up 13-0. And the U.S. women were just like celebrating goals 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. A little too much.
I'm glad that we're still champions at something, and it's women's soccer.
Well, we're the current reigning World Cup champions.
Yeah, we're
probably going to win.
Current reigning champs. That current reigning champs of having a president who's basically just doing a stand-up act.
Yeah, Trump's the reigning champion of accepting foreign aid without asking for it.
Yeah, I might be under investigation for meddling with the election and colluding with Russia, but I'll get to troll you motherfuckers.
It's pretty
That's
fun.
Right.
It's bold.
Because, Because also on Wednesday, Trump claimed executive privilege to keep documents secret related to the questions that they're adding to the census about citizenship status.
He loves that executive privilege. He loves it. What do you think is going to be on that census? It's
Citizenship questions.
Illegal.
Have you ever been on a roll? You know when you're on like a roll where everything everything you say is amazing and you know that like the crowd's eating from your fingertips and the people that don't like you are just like shaking their heads.
Yeah,
he rolled. He rolled straight into the census.
That was kind of like that one time I was at a party and I was on a roll and I was telling everyone, "Do not fuck with me. I will shit on your car." And then I said, "I shit on," and the guy's name I'm gonna black out, "this person's car." And the guy elbowed me to my right and he goes, "That's his brother."
It was Rob DeVault. We'll say his name. And then he said it in front of his younger brother. And then it completely changed the momentum. And then Pat didn't know what to do. So then he said, "Mark was with me," and I was sitting next to him, and I was like, "Dude,
it's my only option at that point. Throw Mark onto the bus. I shit on this guy's car."
And I was
crickets.
Like,
Mark was there.
I mean, perhaps Trump's luck will run out like yours did that night, but not yet. Part of this citizenship situation, the questions, Wilbur Ross, the human box turtle, who also happens to be the Secretary of Commerce, he's now being held in contempt of Congress because he's not going to hand over the documents about the citizenship questions, just like our buddy Bill Barr was held in contempt of Congress. So now Trump's got two executives on his staff in contempt of Congress. But we'll really find out the real answer to this one, the one about adding citizenship questions to the census or not, when the Supreme Court makes their ruling on the questions, when that's expected to happen by the end of June. So this is all kind of a dance, a PR dance on the way to the final ruling by SCOTUS.
Now, Wilbur Ross is a new name to Hard Factor. We don't hear that name.
No. We have covered him before. He looks, like I said, like a box turtle. He's the old man who wears the glasses.
You just don't hear his name a lot.
Yeah, he looks like Mr. Peabody. Remember, if you're old enough for Rocky and Bullwinkle? Anyways, also, Congress is moving to block Trump from making a, quote, emergency sale of $8 billion worth of weapons to Saudi Arabia.
Sometimes you got to make that $8 billion. Real quick, emergency sale.
If I had cookies, I would not buy milk from Saudi Arabia.
This sounds like a mattress sale, but just with $8 billion worth of weapons.
Basically. Yeah, I mean, well, Trump's basically just said, "I need to get this $8 billion. Maybe it's for the wall. Who knows?" Members of Congress from all sides say that it's definitely not an emergency, because why would it be? And also, maybe selling all these weapons to these guys who've done terrible things to everybody, themselves, and us is not such a great idea, even though that Congress is going to be expected to be able to block this emergency sale. Trump is also expected to veto their block. So cue the veto gong.
There it is.
Here's my thing about Saudi Arabia.
As turned out, James says, "There it is."
There it is. He likes to say that. Saudi Arabia, easily the country that's fucked us the most in the last 20 years. They literally harbored and orchestrated 9/11. Osama bin Laden is essentially a prince of Saudi Arabia and attacked us on U.S. soil 18 years ago, but we're still doing business with these motherfuckers? What the fuck?
Right, right, right. But the problem with the Saudi conflict is they're, like, already kicking ass, and they probably could have ended it a long time ago, so they don't need $8 billion worth of weapons just to torture these idiots.
There's more oil in Venezuela than Saudi Arabia right now. Let's go to Venezuela, please. Let's go there.
I doubt it's like strictly about the oil. It's about the connections and everything.
What connections? They have sand and oil. That's all they got.
I agree with you. It seems very strange that we do business with these folks, but looks like it doesn't really matter what we think. These Saudi princes are going to be getting some of America's finest gold-plated machine guns in the very near future.
Can you imagine like the like a young prince, like he's like 8,
yes,
and he gets his first gold, what is it? Not AK-47, M16.
Oh, what a special day.
M16.
He just unwraps this giant machine gun in gold, and he's 6, and he's like stroking it, and they're like, "Oh, what a great day for you.
We'll give you bullets on your 7th birthday."
Yeah.
That's right.
First of many.
And finally, a new national poll shows that Joe Biden would beat President Trump 53% to 40% if an election were to happen today. Right now, today.
Who ran this poll?
Quinnipiac.
Huffington Post.
Also, the poll said that 6 other Democratic nominees, so even people like Pete Buttigieg, would beat Trump. So this sounds eerily similar to 2016, The D's are prancing around with poll projections like 2 years out from the election, and the Republicans are just quietly sitting, drinking Bud Heavies in the dark, waiting to go to the polls.
This poll was run by Russians who are like,
Real professional ringtone
in the middle of the show.
It came through my computer.
This poll was run by Russians who are like, you don't need to show up to the polls because you've already won.
By the way, let's not make Bud Heavies a partisan issue, okay? I mean, like, Bud Heavies are for everyone.
Well, that's true, but they're bright red and they're...
So is the American flag.
Come on. It's the Republican
You think?
Beer.
I have a flag.
It's either that or Coors Original.
Yellow Bellies, baby. The banquet beer.
Yeah, I mean, one of the two. I don't know.
People need to stop getting so upset with the partisan issues and come together anyways and drink some Bud Heavies together.
Right. So. Right. Why doesn't everybody just debate politics while drinking Bud Heavies? That'll end
Fourth of July. Fourth of July is coming up. Get together with some Bud Heavies and debate politics.
All right, and I was going to read an all-caps tweet from Trump, but we don't got time for that, so
we
let's
don't have
move
time
it on.
For
Mark,
it.
Come
We're
on.
We're going on to the second go-off king and add an S. Go-off kings, don't fuck with Hard Factor.
Why not, Mark?
So, as you may have heard, Hard Factor took a little trip to the Michigan, to Michigan for the Cannabis Cup this weekend. Did you hear about that?
That's right. And we do have videos coming today.
I still don't think straight from it. I still am a little bit screwed up.
Yeah, I couldn't.
A little hazy.
Read the sentences.
A little purple haze.
Trinidad James had a live performance straight from being a Hard Factor Power Hour panel member. We also had four-time Stanley Cup champion. That's three more than the St. Louis Blues, who just won their first. Darren McCarty of the Detroit Red Wings. I had to update my joke because I wrote it when I thought the Bruins were going to win before the show. Anyways.
McCarty, by the way, Darren McCarty from
is the man.
Doesn't like me.
No, he loves you, but he just senses weakness. He actually really likes you, but he just knows he can pick on you.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I think he likes you more than anybody, actually.
I'm
going to
battle fucking McCarty in some sort of sport.
Like, if you were to go to prison with McCarty, you would be his bitch, but he'd also protect you.
McCarty literally during the cannabis...
Protect you with his life.
During the Cannabis Cup, Will's mic went bad, and our producer looked at us and goes, swap Will's mic. And we didn't have a stage crew, so I went to swap Will's mic, and McCarty, who him and I were off camera at the time, and he looked at me across stage, and he goes, nice work, Pat. And then afterwards, he pulled me aside, and he goes, oh, bro, that was a really fantastic transition. Right. You got skills.
Because he likes you.
And then right afterwards, he got on the mic and was like, best you could ever do in the NHL is to be a stick boy, Pat. You'd be a great stick boy.
Yeah.
I'm like, you just complimented me.
And then he followed up with, Pat, you were probably last pick, weren't you?
Yeah, he goes, you guys know Pat for 20 years. Who got last picked in sports?
And Trinidad dropped it.
Yeah, you got to rewatch Trinidad that shit if you haven't seen it. It's great.
There it is.
And then I say, how did you know Darren McCarty? Of course he was last pick. He's not very good. He goes, I didn't know. I could just sense it. So he nailed you to a peg, and he likes you. But anyways, it was a great show. You'd have to watch it. But as everything seemed calm and beautiful above the surface, there was a flurry of activity beneath that was not so calm. For example, the day of the fucking flights, the day before the show, flights were getting canceled. The day of the flights,
we found out that
every hotel in Flint, Michigan was sold out because it was a 15,000 person to 20,000 person show that was sold out. And they have like seven hotels in the surrounding area.
Believe it or not, Flint is not prepared for tourism.
So we had just a nightmare. The show was almost canceled. and we just finally got rerouted the night of to Detroit, which is 75 miles away.
By the great city.
Yeah.
Detroit. Yeah, I'm a big Detroit fan. I'm such a big Detroit fan that when I left the airport, I bought tees for me and my wife.
Detroit's amazing.
I had no idea.
Flint also not so bad. Detroit's amazing. We're going to go back to Detroit for the Cannabis Cup in August and probably hang out with McCarty, and Pat's going to get made fun of a lot.
No, I'm going to battle him in Golden Tee.
We finally fucking end up with this thing after a nightmare scenario, and we go to a very famous chain hotel, which was better than where we were going to end up in Flint that got overbooked.
What hotel was it? You're not going to say
I'm not going to say because of the part of the story.
I'm going to say this.
We're going to have a deadline.
It was based...
No. Don't give any hints. It was just a chain hotel.
You get cookies when you check in.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, come on.
Jesus Christ. So we go to this hotel. We do the show. We get a minivan. We drive 75 miles to do the show. We go back. We go back and forth, and we stay at the hotel 75 miles away both nights. Afterwards... After all this nightmare, we get back home, and I notice that there's a $250 charge on my card. Barstool takes care of everyone's, flights and their hotels.
But the incidentals.
The incidentals, right? So I figured maybe they just
charge. Which, by the way, if you're not a big hotel guy, no matter who's paying for your hotel, every time you check in, they take your credit card.
Sure.
And they charge you $50 a hold for
right. Yeah, unless you're me and you check in super late at night and just like,
it's like
don't
in case
ever
it's like $25
offer to
it's
hand
like $25 for jizzing on
for
the
room
sheets.
Service and stuff. Yeah.
Room service.
Not the sheets.
Oh, the oh, I thought it was the sheets.
No, it's room
okay,
service.
Okay. And anyways, so yeah, if you fuck up the hotel room and all that stuff, so I left, get back home. It's not my first or 50th hotel room. I'm not too much upset about the $250 charge on Monday, but the $50 charge for incidentals goes away on Tuesday morning. $250 okay. charge doesn't.
That's good. You didn't get any room
so
for
I'm like, okay. $50 went away. So now the $250 is there, and I'm like, did they charge me for a night? Because it's not the same price for two nights. Wednesday comes around.
So you thought maybe they charge you for the
I'm just waiting because it's not my first rodeo. Wednesday comes around, the $250 charge is still there. Now I'm like, I have to call you. It's been three business days. I call them, and after four reroutes and 30 minutes on the phone, and finally getting to an accounting lady who's like, what do you want? You shouldn't have been transferred to me. I'm like, what's up with the $250 charge? She goes, what's your name? What's your room number? She was like, oh, you have a smoking charge to your room.
Okay.
And I was like, what do you mean a smoking charge? She goes, you smoked in your room. And I was like, I did not smoke in my room, ma'am. She was like, well, you're going to have to take it up with the GM, who I'll play you a voicemail soon, and I'll transfer you to the GM. So I get transferred to him, and he does not answer, and I get his voicemail. And I say very clearly, Mr. Asshole, I did not smoke in the room. I did not vape in the room. And I would like my refund today.
I get a test
to this.
There was
here's
no smoking happening. We're not from...
I'm 30, going on 35.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never smoked in a fucking hotel room. I'm not an idiot.
We're from Virginia, not West Virginia.
I smoked outside of the hotel room about every opportunity I got, but I didn't smoke in the hotel room. So anyways, he calls me back an hour later. And he doesn't call me back. He has his guy call me back. And he says, hey, this is my ink. It was an Indian guy. I work with a lot of Indian people, and I was like, hey, Mayank, what's up? He's like, I'm from this hotel, and I'm calling about your charge. And I was like, yeah, can you refund me? He goes, the room smelled a lot like smoke. And I was like, okay, well, I can explain that. I went to the cannabis cup, and I smoked a lot outside of the room. Maybe my clothes smelled like smoke. He goes, it was worse than that. I was like, okay. He was like, we found a pack of cigarettes in the room. And I was like, did you find a pack of cigarettes in the room? I was like, maybe I left them there because I was smoking them outside of the room and I didn't want to deal with them. And I left the empty pack in there and didn't put it directly in the trash can.
What else was in the room?
And he goes, okay, fine. He goes, I also found rolling papers. And I was like, did you find rolling papers? Were they completely sealed in plastic? I went to the cannabis cup and we got $1,000 worth of free gear at the cannabis cup, including rolling papers and wax and pre-rolled joints.
By the way, shout out Michigan Extracts.
And everything. Just, yeah, everything. Oh, yeah. So I was like, yeah, they were rolling papers. He goes, and also we found non-tobacco in your room. And I was like, yep, that was the weed that was sealed.
Also legal.
That I was given at the cannabis cup that I left for the fucking maids as a gift with money as a tip. So I left a tip.
That was nice, yeah.
Rolling papers and some flour in a pre-sealed package from like Michigan Extracts. And there were like five people came in the room and it smelled like smoke. And I was like, I didn't smoke in the fucking room. Finally, the GM who was on the
Did they indicate whether it was cigarette smoke or marijuana smoke?
They tried to trick me.
Okay.
It was neither.
Okay.
It just smelled like weed because of the flour.
Okay.
So the GM finally has been on the call the whole time. And he steps and he goes, Mr. So-and-so, I almost said my last name. He goes, you should not be talking to us like this.
So the GM was on the call
the whole time.
Speakerphone?
I left him, yeah.
Fuck that.
And he goes, the room smelt like smoke. And I was like, if you've been hearing, my clothes probably smelt like smoke. The weed I left in there probably smelt like smoke. Your hotel, it's Michigan. Your hotel smells like smoke, you piece of shit. And he goes,
the toy chest, the strip club 100 yards away smelled like smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, shout out Toy Chest. Great.
Shout out Toy Chest.
Yeah.
TJ.
Yeah, yeah, shout it out.
Hey, well, I got to wrap it up. So finally he goes, we're not going to refund you. And I was like, well, maybe I'll just mention that on my podcast. And he goes, you do whatever the fuck you want. Hangs up the phone. I sent a tweet to the main hotel site, their HQ, and explained the situation. 15 minutes later, I get a phone call from the GM. He goes, Mr. So-and-so.
Play the message.
Let's just play it.
Okay.
This is the Dearborn. I just spoke to you a moment ago. After I hung up, I spoke to my director of ops. And it turns out that we didn't call you and let you know we were going to put that fee on, so we can't. And that is not my protocol. So I am about to reverse the fee. Thank you. Bye.
So there's the message.
You bitch that man.
Turns out...
You turn that man's day around.
Turns out Hard Factors Twitter and Hard Factors podcast had a little bit of power. And also, I think we...
Oh, right, yeah. It's not over yet.
You cucked a hotel manager from Detroit.
I promised to not say their hotel name because they refunded my money. But We have a producer who's in a
Evan,
similar boat with me right now.
He's also got the charge.
So this hotel, I know you're fucking listening. You have until Monday's show to refund our producer for the same bullshit charge because no one smoked in your fucking rooms. Stop extorting people. You have until Monday or we're going to smash you.
We're going to smash you. We literally stood up on stage and tried to bring... We said, what's wrong with Flint water? How do we fix Detroit?
We tried to fix Flint water.
Fuck you. Okay, let's take it to the lightning round of other headlines we didn't have time to get to in depth.
Living on the edge of a lightning bolt, and I do not apologize for that.
Oh, yeah!
If guns could have sex, you know what they would have sex with? Holsters. That's an insertion joke in case you missed it. But seriously, if you own a gun, do the responsible thing and get that gun laid and buy it the hottest piece of ass money can buy. And that would be a sexy holster by We the People Holsters. We the People Holsters offers custom-made holsters all produced in the USA. They design their own holsters in-house, which means they don't use any third-party molds for their holsters. Instead, they design every unique mold in Las Vegas in order to best fit each and every firearm perfectly. They consistently update designs, adding new designs every month, which lets them stay up to date on the newest models that come out. Every holster has an adjustable retention, which is signaled with a click sound. This lets you know the firearm is securely and happily in place. If you ever want more tension, you can just tighten one screw and you're done. Custom printed designs in-house, thin blue line, thin red line, Constitution camo, an American flag, anything you want. And more coming out each month. We the People holsters start at just $37 a piece. Every holster comes with a lifetime guarantee. Every holster ships free. If it's not perfect, send it back for a refund. Right now, listeners of the Hard Factor show can go to wethepeopleholsters.com/factor and enter promo code FACTOR at checkout to get $10 off their first holster. That's as low as $37, and shipping is free with an additional $10 off using my promo code. Again, that's wethepeopleholsters.com/factor and promo code FACTOR at checkout for $10 off.
Oh, yeah!
All right, a college student from South Bay heard a story about, or from his friend, about how she'd been molested as a child, which is sad. And he wanted to do something about that. And he got an idea. And his idea was to create a fake Tinder profile so he could help identify possible pedophiles. Cool, right?
How did he do that?
Well, the well, smart. I mean, that's
But how did he do it?
Good question, because this guy's name is Ethan. He's a man, so he used Snapchat's gender swap filter to make a lady version of himself.
Is this a genital swap? Or
no,
face
no,
swap?
It was face swap.
Okay,
yeah, they don't have gender swap genital swap yet. And then Esther was born, and Esther was a young looking Asian American woman with a strong jawline,
with a fake name.
Yeah, so we uploaded that photo to Tinder. That's the profile. And initially, Esther listed her age at 19 years old.
That's legal anywhere,
yeah,
Pat.
Well, Tinder doesn't allow juveniles yet.
Okay.
And the fake profile wasn't up long before it got its first bite in the form of 40-year-old San Mateo police officer Robert Davies, who was swiping right on everything that looked young and Asian.
His hand was sore?
Yeah,
he's got arthritis. He's got arthritis in his right hand.
Getting a cop on your first bite.
On your first bite.
I mean,
Davey's opening line was, quote, "Are you down to have some fun tonight?"
Jesus.
Yeah. And Esther knew she had caught a fly.
Time out.
Yeah, you know
that was
in.
The opening line.
Opening line.
Are you down to have some fun tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Not how. What's your name?
No.
Where are you from?
No.
He went straight to you want to have butt sex with Officer Davies?
That was implied.
Yeah.
With yeah.
Badge
exactly.
Number 324.
It's also in text. It's also he's typing this out. He's like, "Would you like to be statutory raped by a police officer?"
I don't know
that.
Yeah, exactly. He's so forward and confident. He goes, "I'm going to send you my badge number and my dick."
Ethan and Esther had no idea that it was a cop yet. Okay, because they kicked it over to Kick, the messaging platform. That was after Davies' initial aggressive correspondence. And Esther let Robert Davies know that she was only 16 years old.
He goes, "I'm not going to arrest myself."
Yeah, and that's when the chats got, quote, very explicit. So over the course of 12 hours, he sexted this boy lady, and things got intense. And he then, Ethan, the man who made the Tinder profile,
right,
screenshotted all the photos and sent them to the police. And Davies,
Davies
was arrested on suspicion of discussing sexual activity with a minor on social media and has been put on paid administrative leave and is undoubtedly going to be the joke of a lot of punchlines, or the punchline of a lot of jokes at the San Mateo PD.
It's too bad for Officer Davies. He didn't get the... because you said Evan, or whatever his name is, sent in the stuff to the police. It's too bad he wasn't the first police to receive it. He could have face swapped.
Oh,
and be like,
totally.
"This is Officer Mrs. Davies." We're going to get to the bottom of this.
All right, real quick. Another news. John Stewart did some really cool stuff for the 9/11 victims and got them their health care, hopefully. And then they found 2,500-year-old weed. Sign us off, Mark.
Wait a minute. What? It's the last show of the week. Can we go back over the John Stewart stuff?
Okay, so a bill that permanently authorizes 9/11 victims' compensation fund passed out of the House Judiciary Committee unanimously on Wednesday after John Stewart beat all the legislators with a shame stick.
Unanimously.
You never know. Yeah. You never know where I'm from.
One of those
Daily Show host testified on behalf of 9/11 first responders to the members of the Judiciary Committee, of which four of the 14 all showed up.
But they all voted yes.
Yes, they all voted yes.
Yeah, it was awesome. Good for John Stewart.
Yeah, it was a viral video. If you haven't seen it, John Stewart absolutely destroyed all the members who did show up, and especially the ones who
My
didn't
favorite
show
line
up.
that he threw out there, and I'm paraphrasing here, he goes, the New York Fire Department's official response time to 9/11 was 5 seconds. Hmm. Why has it taken 18 years to guarantee these heroes have the help they need? I cried watching this thing.
That's damning. Yeah, but you cry watching anything.
You cried.
Well, I cried then, and then I watched A Star Is Born, and I cried as well.
Okay. All right. Star
so
is born,
good, right?
But like,
what if you watched the John Stewart?
Okay,
speech
well, Willie,
after Star Is Born,
I just like you crying. Like, okay. If it moved you that much, you cried. I know you personally.
That's crier.
Okay, that's okay. Crier. But like, okay, what this became was like everybody who is a liberal on social media. It became a contest of who loves John Stewart more. And I'm telling you, I'm not a liberal, but I watched John Stewart every day when I was a kid. And just drop the fucking contest.
Right. Okay, but hold on. I cried because the 9/11 first responders, the John Stewart.
Do you think maybe Darren McCarty thinks you're a crier too?
Yeah, he knows I'm a crier, and I'll see you in fucking Michigan, Darren McCarty.
You think maybe he picked up on that?
All right, look, marijuana chemical residue has been found in incense burners apparently used during funeral rites ceremonies in a mountainous region in western China from over 2,500 years ago, boys.
That's awesome.
This is the oldest reported use of marijuana ever. When scientists saw evidence of burn marks on these incense burners, they drug tested them and found a high level of THC, which we all know what that does. And this was much higher than the concentrated levels or low levels that you'd find in a wild cannabis plant. So this essentially means that these guys were cultivating weed.
Right. They were strengthening it, growing it, crossbreeding
it. Or they potentially, or they were just picking out female flowers when they found them in the
point
wild.
Point is, Willie, they knew what it THC did to them.
They were doing it on purpose to get high.
Look.
Yeah, they were aware.
Guys,
yeah,
these bros were charring dank as part of funeral ceremonies, right?
Well,
and this
good
was,
call.
These funeral ceremonies also included rhythmic drumming, naturally. And this was at 500 BC. So you know these 420-friendly Chinese men were looking up at the stars thinking about the Lord and having all sorts of conversations.
I mean, could you imagine being handed a blunt of 2,500-year-old weed?
Like in my dreams every night.
They had like an OG. Like an OG Flintstoner guy instead of like a revolver. It was just a wheel. Just had a blunt shaped.
Hold on, but they didn't do blunts because Yemen Yang, the archaeologist scientist who found the stash spot, pointed out that back in the day they didn't roll fatties at all. Instead, they packed a bunch of braziers. Yeah, it sounds like broth.
The fuck?
Yeah, essentially like they were like little grills.
You mean braziers?
Yeah, whatever. It's spelled the same. And they would hot box or clam bake their spots, and that's how they get loaded. Which I love. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Clam bakes are
well. Look,
are the
it's
shit.
The weekend coming up, right? So everyone should get clam baked. Thank you so much for listening to Hard Factor. Thanks for listening all week. Check us out next week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram.
What's our handle?
Leave some reviews. It's at Hard Factor News. They all know it.
Okay.
And at Hard Factor, our names. Leave us some reviews, and most importantly, did I say moist? Importantly,
yes.
And most importantly, have a great fucking weekend.
See you later, yeah!